Greetings, friends, fellow citizens, fellow patriots, and even non-citizens. Welcome to this week's edition of the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. My name is Tom Zawistowski. I'm the host of this podcast. I'm also the president of the We the People Convention. And this podcast and our emails and our text messages and our website and our phone app and our trips to go speak to other groups, our donations to other conservative causes are all funded by the generous donations of our donors to the We the People Convention. And if you'd like to join them, if you're in a position where you can help us spread the word of freedom, liberty, and individual prosperity, please go to wethepeopleconvention.org and make your donation. You'll see a donate button right there. We thank all of you who donate so generously to our cause, and we really appreciate that support, because without you, we couldn't do hardly any of the things that we currently are doing. So if you are a longtime viewer to this podcast, welcome. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for your loyalty. Thanks for your support. Thanks for, you know, just keeping us going, you know, heading into 15 years now. Thanks for those of you who've been with us since the beginning and those who are new to us. If you're new to this podcast, you know, this is a unique kind of podcast, because we're not afraid to suggest that you should take action in defense of your individual freedom and liberty and prosperity. And we will ask you to do certain things because that's what this is all about. The fight is between statism, control of your life by the government, and individual freedom and liberty and prosperity. Now, a good friend of mine wrote to me this week and said, Tom, some of my friends that I had directed to your podcast had asked me what the difference is between freedom and liberty. And this is something that it has confused people for a long time. They're not the same thing. Freedom is your God-given ability to think what you want to think, say what you want to say, write what you want to write, do what you want to do, you know, learn the skills you want and start businesses and do the things that, you know, you want to do. That's your freedom. Liberty is the societal structure that allows you to express your freedom within social bounds, that so you do not infringe upon other people's freedom and liberty, right? So, and as a perfect example, what happened in COVID was that we lost our freedom because they violated our liberty. Instead of you deciding whether you should take a shot or not, the government said you will take the shot or you'll lose your job. The government decided your kids will not go to school because the teachers union told us to do that, whereas you did not have the freedom or the liberty to say, well, I'm going to keep my kid home from school because I'm worried about COVID, or I'm going to send him to school. So you see the difference? You know, freedom is you know, about you and your ability, you know, that God gives you to think freely. And that's why this censorship and all these things that are going on is such a threat to your individual freedom. But liberty is the structure of our government that gives us the ability to express our freedom in a way that is consistent and not chaotic. And if you lived in Saudi Arabia, or you lived in, you know, some sort of a dictatorship like China, you don't have the liberty of the government, you know, the rules and your laws in your country to do whatever you want, to express yourself. The government restricts your liberty. So I hope that clears that up. We are here to talk about what's happening this week that affects you. Not propaganda, not noise. We don't care about that. We care about the things that actually affects your individual freedom and liberty, that's a threat to you or a benefit to you. And then we'll talk about things that we could possibly do to help us, you know, protect and defend our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. So let's get on with the show. And, you know, again, thank you for joining us. If you're new, you know, I think you'll find this to be a very interesting show. As you can see in the background, my flag is still hanging upside down. As we say every week, this is not a sign of disrespect. It is a signal of dire distress and instances of, you know, extreme danger to life or property. Our lives, your life, your family's life is in extreme danger. Your life is in danger based on what the government is doing to your food, to your medicine, what they're doing to our energy. okay? And your property is being threatened by the government's insistence that they can tell you what to do with it. You know, what car you can buy. You know, that's your property. They're threatening that. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to control your life. We're trying to stop them. So that's why our flag is upside down, and I hope you're flying your flag upside down. We begin our podcast every week with a report about the January 6th political prisoners. If you are not up to speed on that and you're new to this podcast, you can go to j6truth.org to find out more, to see documentaries. You can go to our website at wethepeopleconvention.org. Search on Jake Lang. You'll see that I just did an interview with him from prison. He's a political prisoner, and I did that like 10 days ago, and you'll find it very insightful. How do you live? He's going to be 1,000 days in prison with no bail, no ability to change venue, without any really, he hasn't been convicted of anything for 1,000 days. That's political persecution. That's not prosecution. And I want to thank those of you who've written to me when I interviewed Jake last time. And you can see that on the interview page. You know, if you just search for Jake Lang at wethepeopleconvention.org, you'll find that interview. And on that page, there's a link to his Give, Send, Go account. And many of you have given money, and I greatly appreciate that. I thank you. I know it means a lot to Jake because, as I explained, his lawyers are appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court to challenge the government's abuse of the law and misinterpretation of this law, where they're basically charging them with interfering with government records. And this comes from the Enron trial. You can read all about that. But thank you for those of you who have donated. If you have some money that can help, money you want to make a difference about your individual freedom and liberty, because remember, the J6, you know, political prisoners are there fighting for us. If they can do it to them, they can do it to you. That's just the bottom line, and you're going to hear some more things in this podcast about that tyranny that we're currently facing. So we begin with a prayer for the January 6th prisoners, and we're asking God to watch over them, protect them while they're in prison, protect their mental health, their physical health, their spiritual health. And if you listen to Jake Lang's interview, you'll see that that's working. Your prayers are working, but also to protect their families. And to give their lawyers, the insight, the knowledge to be able to defend them and hopefully gain justice for them. So let's just say a prayer right now, and then we'll continue with the show. Okay, thank you for doing that. There's a couple things going on with the J6 prisoners. There was a story that came out this week that was very disturbing to me. This hasn't happened to Jake yet, but it's happened to others. The DOJ and the FBI are so trying to intimidate you and me to basically keep us from challenging this illegitimate government and to challenge the FBI's authority and the DOJ's authority, that they are just going above and beyond to overly prosecute these individuals. Two more Oath Keepers were sentenced to like 14 years in prison. You know, hopefully they're going to appeal that. There was a story that was very disturbing that said that the prosecutors are now not just asking for jail time as punishment for what they claim were crimes on January 6th, but now they're asking a judge to fine the inmates, to fine the plaintiffs, because they're making money on their notoriety through these Give, Send, Go and other fundraising accounts, and that they have no right to make money after being famous for committing a crime. That's what the prosecutors are literally saying. They want the judge to claw back money that you've donated to help with their legal defense, claiming that many of them have government paid for defense attorneys, and because they didn't have the money to pay their own defense attorneys. So if the taxers are paying for their defense, they shouldn't have been able to raise money for their defense. Except a lot of that money went to pay their mortgage, to pay for their, to keep their family going. Because you're in prison for 3 years. How's your family alive? Right? They're literally, they've $127,000 in fines judges have put on some of the convicted prisoners so far this year, and the DOJ wanted $350,000 of fines. How heinous is this? And yet, they want to say they shouldn't be able to make money, you know, raise money and make money for, you know, because they're criminals. And here's James Comey, who is, the Durham report makes perfectly clear, is guilty of treason, is a total criminal. He lied to a FISA court multiple times. That's a felony, three felonies. He's on TV selling his new book and making millions. Do you see the injustice? Do you see why we're fighting for these January 6th prisoners? Do you see the two-tiered system? So here's another important story that broke this week on January 6th that I don't know if you picked up on. Marjorie Taylor Greene posted a thing on Twitter that said, "I'm excited to share the good news that just as I promised, the January 6th tapes are being released. Speaker McCarthy has given John Solomon at Just the News and Julie Kelly at American Greatness and a third outlet unfettered access to the January 6th tapes, and the reporting on it starts tomorrow. This is the transparency that we promised." Okay? Well, we've got a problem with this. All right? So some of the people responded to her on Twitter and said, again, the promise was to release it to the public. Releasing it to three members of the press is a million miles away from that. And this is being released today to soften the blow of the McCarthy caving and screws again. We're tired of these games. So she was called out by some people on Twitter. She responded, "I would love for everyone to be able to see the January 6th tapes, except the funded Antifa internet trolls that can't wait to comb through every ounce of video with facial recognition software in order to dox every person that simply stood on the Capitol grounds that day so they could ruin their lives and the FBI could raid their homes in the middle of the night and DOJ can persecute them mercilessly." Now, I understand, you know, that position for Marjorie Taylor Greene, but here's the problem. I've talked to you about this before, and if you're new to this show, this will be new to you, but if you've been, you know, listening, we, the People Convention, and our partner, Catherine Engelbrecht from True the Vote and Open Inc., wrote to Congressman Jim Jordan and Thomas Massie in January asking for a full set of the tapes after McCarthy said they would be released to the public. Why? In our letter, we explained that few people have the ability to process 16,000 hours of video. How do you do that? But we have that ability, and we wanted it so we could protect our people from the prosecution by Antifa and those people. So here's the other problem. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that there's been a lawsuit filed by the New York Times, the Washington Post, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, asking a court to give them access to the video. And we tried to join that case, and our friends at the ACLJ, Jordan Sekulow, you know, they stepped up and said, "Well, you can't join that case," but they were going to try to get us a copy of the tapes. This is a problem, because Marjorie Taylor Greene can't prohibit the left from getting the tapes. But I got news for you. John Solomon and Just the News and Julie Kelly, who's done the best reporting of anybody. This woman, talk about a Pulitzer Prize. This woman's unbelievable at American Greatness, Julie Kelly. She's the only person on this planet who stuck with the J6 story from day one and provides incredible reporting. But they don't have the ability to process 16,000 hours of video. We do. So I reached out to Catherine this week, shared the story, and she reached out to John Solomon, and we're trying to get a hold of Julie Kelly and offered to them our services, okay, that we will work with them to get the video so you can see it, and we can use crowdsourcing, and we can use AI to be able to, like, follow an individual person throughout the whole day, through all 16,000 hours of tapes. So that you could have access, so that when we could find out who were the feds that were there. They don't want us to see that. Now, notice what she said in her piece, because this is important. She said that Speaker McCarthy had given these outlets unfettered access to the tapes. Okay? And that's not the same as giving them the tapes. That's not the same as giving you the video. So this is, sounds to me like what they did with Tucker Carlson, where you got to go in the skiff and look at the tapes for hours and then, you know, say, I want this, I want that. That's not what McCarthy promised. He promised to release it to the American public because we own those tapes. So this is really still a problem. And until we see those tapes, we won't know what really happened on January 6th. And so we're going to continue to fight for them because we can process the tapes and we can show what really happened there as far as the government goes. That's why they don't want to release them, folks. Just don't be fooled. That's what's really going on here. Okay, let's move on to the next, you know, big story of the week, and that was, you know, the debt deal was done. And so McCarthy and you know, Biden, you know, came to an agreement that was very controversial. We knew that, you know, we would not get exactly what that the Republicans had voted for in the House. We knew there would be some compromise. I think that, you know, many of us were disappointed that the compromise was so great. You know, the original thing that the House passed cut spending by $4.9 trillion going forward and was a one-year debt ceiling. They raised it for 2 years and allowed Biden and his people to print $12 trillion more going forward. That's not what we needed. But quite frankly, as I said in the text and emails that I sent to you, and if you don't get our texts or emails, please sign up at wethepeopleconvention.org. It's right on the front page. Do that. But I said, I think this is the best we can get. And despite a lot of people trying to tell you that it was a horrible deal and, you know, we completely caved, that's really not true. We got some really key things here. And so I'm going to play a video by our congressman, Max Miller. He's a freshman congressman from Cleveland area, Northeast Ohio. I have a good relationship with Max. I trust him. He trusts me. He hasn't lied to me yet. And he did a good job with Maria Bartiromo explaining, you know, why he voted for the debt deal.
Joining me right now is Ohio Congressman, member of the House Agriculture and Science, Space and Technology Committees, Max Miller, who voted for the bill. Congressman, great to see you. Thanks so much for being here. A big win for Speaker McCarthy, for sure. But it's interesting to hear Chuck Schumer talk all about how the Democrats did such a great job. Kim Strassel in the Journal this morning writes, McCarthy earns the speakership. And she writes, Mr. McCarthy's strategy was to embrace the right and the center and his defense hawks and his culture warriors and everybody else, and to give the whole crew ownership. Pelosi delivered marching orders. McCarthy decentralized, gave leaders of all five of his caucuses a seat at the leadership table, and set the well-respected colleagues in to do the negotiating. Congressman, what do you think when you hear Chuck Schumer attribute it all to the Democrats?
I think Chuck Schumer continues to gaslight the American people day in and day out. This is a big win for the Republican Party. And what everyone should familiarize themselves with is that we're talking about 11% of the federal budget. When Speaker McCarthy and his negotiating team went in to meet with the president immediately knew that we had at least 20 or more votes that weren't going to side with us if it was one penny over $1.5 trillion. That is not something you do when you're in a negotiation. You are literally tipping your hand. If this was a poker game, I'm not showing my cards to the other players because they're going to take me to task, and that's what happened. So we need to continue to look forward and look at these wins that Speaker McCarthy got for the Republican Party, getting spending cuts, I believe, since 2005, up to $2.1 trillion for every American within this country.
Yeah, but a lot of people are complaining, even in the Republican side, that the bill does not go far enough. You know that. What are your plans and the Republicans' plans to actually try to finish the job? Critics are saying that the spending cuts are not going far enough, that defense spending is not high enough, and the caps that are supposed to be in place for the next 6 years are actually just targets, not real caps that anybody really has to follow.
Well, if you look at what we've put forward and what we've passed, if you remove defense spending, and if you remove the veteran spending for this year, we are going to spend less money in this fiscal year than in FY22. And that's what we should be focused on. This is a win for the American people and the Republican Party, and I believe there's been a lot of misinformation put out. We have NEPA reforms that are only going to help the permitting process within our country for oil and natural gas. We have work requirements that are in for welfare programs. We have a lot of great body within this bill have done a terrific job. Do I think the bill is perfect? Absolutely not. But this is what happens when you are dealing with one half of one third of government. And yes, leverage is a thing. If we want a better bill, I can say this, then we need to win more elections in the Republican Party. We need to take back the Senate, and we need to take back the White House in 2024, and then we will get the most desirable piece of legislation and finally get this country back on track. But what no one can refute is that this does cut $2.1
trillion. So there you have a pretty concise analysis of what happened. And those are good things that, you know, that we did get. And quite frankly, I still think, you know, we could have done better, but we've never done anything like this. This is a big step forward for the Republicans in Congress. And so while, you know, we had people vote against it, you know, it passed because there was Democrat support, and the Democrats in the media made a big deal trying to make it look like, oh, they won. Remember, they wanted a clean debt ceiling increase, no strings attached, just raise it, let us spend whatever we want. You have to admit, they didn't get anything like that, okay? Yes, could have been better, always could be better. But here's the thing I want you to focus on, because we've talked about this a lot, and this is, to me, one of the most important things that we're fighting for. This is a guy, Tom Massie, from Kentucky, that I have a lot of respect for. He's kind of a libertarian, you know, he's a Rand Paul buddy and stuff like that. And in this case, they were not together on this. But Massie ended up being the key vote to get the deal passed in the House. He was literally the key vote. Now, a lot of people say, oh yeah, one by one vote, so I was a key vote. But no. Listen to this. Massey's vote delivered the Rules Committee by the narrowest possible margin, 7-6, for passage of the debt bill to the House floor. The inclusion of regular order was a key reason why. Now, let me talk to you about that, because this word regular order is really important. While admitting he was not fond of the closed-door process between McCarthy and Biden, Massie liked the provision of the bill that required the Congress to work on 12 individual appropriation bills in the fall to hash out spending details or otherwise face an automatic 1% spending cut. His blessings delivered the committee the narrowest possible margin, 7-6, for passage to the House floor. If Massie had voted no, McCarthy would have been forced back to the drawing board with just days left before the June 5th deadline. Instead, the full House, including each of Kentucky's GOP representatives, approved the deal one day later with help from a large block of Democrats. And then he posted, you know, on Twitter, it'll be hard for you to see this if you're not on TV, but he posted, you know, a thing that said, if the House doesn't pass all 12 appropriations bills, and if the Senate doesn't agree to them, we should cut government spending 1% across the board. The penny plan. This is in the debt limit deal. That is in the debt limit deal. Now, why is that important to you? Why is it important to your individual freedom and liberty? Well, because our founders created a constitutional republic in which we had representation. The way your congressman represents you is by being in their committees and negotiating budgets and changes to those groups. The Defense Committee is talking about the military. The Agriculture Committee is talking about agriculture and Department of Agriculture and their funding and what they can and can't do. For 26 years, your representative hasn't been able to do that. Read my lips. For 26 years, there's been no regular order. There's been no ability for your representative to say, we're going to cut funding for the EPA and have that be fought out in committee as an appropriations bill, which then goes to the General House and then goes to the Senate. This is how we can cut spending going forward. And so between now and September, this is saying that the House has to pass all 12 appropriations bills and then vote on them and send them to the Senate. And if they don't, they get a 1% cut, the penny plan. This is a big deal. This is a huge win for us. So read this article about Tom Massey, okay, and you'll get more information. But this is the story within the story about your freedom and individual liberty, okay, and our ability to have a government that represents us. You haven't for 25, 26 years. This is giving you that representation. Now, we got to hold our people's feet to the fire, and in these committees, they got to fight to claw back and reduce the size of government and reduce spending, but at least they're going to have a chance to do that now. No small thing. All right, I put this story out because it was very important to me after last week, and it says, we must stay together, don't fall for the lies. And those of you who are sports fans, for some reason, I look like I'm doing my best Bobby Knight impression here. Not a very flattering picture of me in this story, but go and read the article, okay? And watch the video. It's a very short video where I explain that the left and the rhinos and the media and everyone, they want to divide us. The goal of our enemies is to divide MAGA so we will lose in 2024 and lose our future. Do not fall for it. They are feeding you lies. You do not have to hate DeSantis to support Trump, and you do not have to hate Trump to support DeSantis. We need them both. They're both big-time conservative warriors who the press has attacked relentlessly, and yet they still fight on. Both of them. So I got it. You may like Trump. You're going to vote for Trump. Don't hate DeSantis. You may like DeSantis. You don't have to hate Trump. You just have a preference. But you can't let them split us. And so the problem is, and I'm getting it from you guys, you're sending me all these emails that are just crazy, like the one about, oh, they're both from the same state. They can't run together. I've explained that. It's in our articles. Guess what? Trump owns properties all over the United States. He can change his residency tomorrow. Not a problem. Oh, you know, Paul Ryan and Karl Rove are running DeSantis' campaign. And I said to you last week, I got that from the Conservative Treehouse. And I'm very disappointed in the Conservative Treehouse because this is not true. So here's the proof that it's not true. Listen to this clip. This is being asked directly.
Well, I can tell you this, Eric. I have not spoken to Paul Ryan since I've been governor. I've met Karl Rove once in my life. They are not involved in my political operation. So that's just manufactured garbage that people put out there online. So if people are telling you that, you know, I'd hope that they'll look at the facts rather than do that. You also look at my record. How many establishment Republicans would have sent illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard? How many establishment Republicans would have stood up against Disney? How many establishment Republicans would have signed the bill that I just signed to ban land purchases from people affiliated with the CCP in the state of Florida? We're now being sued by the ACLU for that. How many establishment Republicans would have leaned in to support our children against the pronoun Olympics? We banned the pronoun Olympics in our schools. We're the first state to do that. How many establishment Republicans would have banned gender transition surgeries for minors? We not only would take the doctor's medical license, we'll put the doctor in jail if they are mutilating minors. So on every issue that kind of the old guard of the Republican Party would have shied away from in a New York minute, I'm not only leaning into them, I'm winning against the media and against the left. You know, we say Florida is the place where woke goes to die because we've defeated the left on all these fronts. And my pledge, if I'm elected president after two terms, we will leave woke ideology in the dustbin of history.
That's a pretty powerful statement. Now, you know, I got people writing me, he's lying. No, he's not lying. He's not lying. You know how you can tell? Because actions speak louder than words. You go to this website at wethepeopleconvention.org and look for the story, we must stay together, don't fall for the lies. And on that page, I post for you to read all the things that Ron DeSantis has passed into legislation. Here is Ron DeSantis' record in Florida. No globalists, no leftists, no deep state, no rhinos would support any of this. So why would you believe that Ron DeSantis is a deep state, rhino globalist, Soros plant, etc.? Stop it. Look at the facts, not propaganda. Here they are. Read every one of them. How about just this year? Just January. Banned central bank digital currency. Banned credit card companies tracking gun purchases. And expanded the Parental Rights Education Act. The state passed a bill that prevents state universities from using funds for diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. DeSantis also proposed these reforms before the legislative session and saying that, you know, we're not going to have DEI in our state. He changed the death penalty so that you didn't need to have a unanimous decision of 12 jurors to do it. You could do it with a smaller number of people and get a death penalty for like some of these pedophilia people. He passed constitutional carry. He had abortion was banned after 15 weeks. He got it reduced to 6 weeks. Now, it goes on. That's just this year. Read every one of them. I don't want to hear it. Ron DeSantis is our future. We have to protect our future. What the left and the rhinos and the media and the deep state are trying to do is they're trying to kill Trump, who's our present chance, and kill our future with one attack. That's what they're trying to do. You got to be smart enough to figure that out, and you got to not let them have it. Do not say anything bad about Trump or DeSantis, because how does that help us? It doesn't help us at all. You want to talk about, they're both great, but I prefer DeSantis because of this, or they're both great, but I prefer Trump because of this, right? He's been there before. He's tried and true. Oh, I'm for DeSantis because he's actually done it in legislation, and we need to do that. But don't say anything bad about either one of them. You understand? That's not what this is about. It's about winning 2024. We can't win if we don't stay together. So here's what's going on that I want to make you aware of. This is a story I posted this week. Want to know why Trump now hates Chris Christie? This is why, all right? This is why. This is from Mike Huckabee's newsletter. If you don't get Mike Huckabee's newsletter, just search on Mike Huckabee's newsletter and sign up. He's put something out every day that is just chock full of great links, great stories. And in this newsletter, he said, while this is technically an FBI update, let's take a moment to consider the impending presidential candidacy of former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. I guarantee that the FBI update and Christie's running are related. In May of 2019, former U.S. Attorney Joe DiGenova revealed who it was that recommended Christopher Wray for the position of FBI director to replace the disastrous James Comey after Trump fired him. DiGenova said in an interview on WMAL, what we'd linked to, but the audio appears to have been taken down. Fortunately, Gateway Pundit has a number of eye-opening quotes from the interview about Wray and what he was up to even back then. DeGenova also reveals who recommended Wray for the job. It was Chris Christie. And this is a must-read article offering details of what Wray was doing to protect the FBI back in the Steele dossier days. Yes, these are allegations made by one person, but in the time since DeGenova made them in 2019, we've seen Wray repeatedly live up to them. Christie had written in his book that Trump blamed him for recommending Wray to the FBI director, telling him one day when they were together during a debate prep session that Wray was the worst member of his administration. You don't want to know who's the worst member of my administration? Trump asked Christie, according to the book. Your guy, Chris Wray, he is the worst. All right? So you can read more about that. But we have Chris Wray because Trump trusted Chris Christie. And the reason Chris Christie suggested him is because he had hired Chris Wray, because Chris Wray was in private practice for a little while. He hired Chris Wray to defend him in the Bridgegate controversy in New Jersey that almost, brought down Christie. And the state of New Jersey paid Christopher Wray $2.1 million to defend the governor. And so then he recommends him to Trump. Trump appoints him. And now we've got Christopher Wray taking our liberty and our freedom. And so why is Chris Christie running? Why is Mike Pence running? Why is, Larry Elder running? Why is, Aisha Hutchinson, all these people, why are they running? Well, most people will say they're running to, get a position in administration. Some of them, they're saying Tim Scott may be running because he wants to be vice president. We talked about that last week. But Chris Christie is a different deal. Chris Christie is the hitman. Chris Christie is being funded by the same people who want to stop Trump by funding DeSantis, because they want Chris Christie to be the attack dog on Trump. Why? Because they want DeSantis not to get into that with Trump. They want DeSantis to stay on policy, and he'll look more like a more reasonable conservative if he doesn't get into it with Trump, because Trump and Christie will be calling themselves each other names constantly. And the media will play that up, and that's all you'll hear. He's a hitman. He has no chance of winning. But they don't care. Because remember, the goal is to stop Trump. That's what they want. They want to stop Trump. And that's why Chris Christie's running. And that's why we, the people, need to keep our commitment to Project 2025. If you don't know what Project 2025 is, go to wethepeopleconvention.org, click on the little eyeglass search button, and put in Project 2025. You'll see an interview that I did with the director, Paul Danz, about, you know, recruiting 4,000 people to staff all the politically appointed jobs in the next conservative administration, so Trump or DeSantis or whoever the conservative president is doesn't have to rely on people like Chris Christie to recommend somebody, okay? We want to get this flushed out way beforehand. So that Project 2025 is from Heritage. We, the people, we are actually trying to recruit people to fill these positions. I want you to go to project2025.org, download the thing called the Plum Book, which lists every job in the federal government, start looking through them, and start thinking about people you know in your community, in your state, who could fill one of these jobs as a patriot, not as someone who wants to be a career government employee and get a great pension, not as someone who wants to, you know, do that and then run for local office. No, no. We need people who are bulletproof, like retired people, people who've, you know, had businesses and sold them, and now they can't be attacked by the left as easily, who will go to D.C. and do the things we want to do, like cut the workforce by like 40%, cut the budgets, do the things that MAGA knows we have to do to defund the left and reestablish limited, constitutionally limited representative government. That's what Project 2025 is. I need you to do this. We're going to talk about it all year. I am committed to it. I wrote to Paul Danz and Stephen Creighton, their two heads, this week, and suggested that they build a dashboard that lists, here are all the agencies of the federal government, here's how many employees are in each one that we can appoint, here's how many we've already had apply and are now being trained, and here's how many more we need. And then if you click on the Defense Department or Agriculture, Small Business Administration, it'll then show you all the jobs under that and how many people applied for each of those, so that you and I can know where we still need to recruit people for. We want to have as many people as we can for each job, so we have a choice. We don't want just one person. We're not trying to recruit 4,000 people. We're trying to recruit like 50,000 people. So there's some choice, just like Trump had for the Supreme Court in 16, right? He didn't list, here's the three people at a point. He said, out of this group of, I think it was like 20, I will appoint from that. That's what we're trying to do with Project 2025. Let's get on it, okay? Let's get on it. This is more important than you're electing a president, because personnel is policy. And if we don't have these people recruited, vetted, trained, and ready to go with marching orders, this is what we're going to do with the Energy Department once we take over, then we're just wasting our time. Believe me, and the left will waste our time as we fumble trying to find these people. This isn't ancillary. This is not like, oh, this would be a nice thing to do. This is critical, okay? I need you to get with me on this. It's really important. Okay, now this is, before we go to the break, this is a really important story. On Monday, Christopher Wray is going to provide Comer and Grassley with the document that they've been asking for and that Wray has been hiding that basically, you know, from what we understand, it's going to show a payment to the Biden, to Joe Biden when he was vice president, in exchange for policy, exchange for a change in U.S. policy. And my understanding, reading from you know, the Federalists and some other things, they're talking about a $5 million payment. $5 million, okay? So Comer wins, FBI relents, agrees to deliver subpoenaed memo alleging Biden bribery to Capitol. Over the years, we've seen the Republicans take a good game about pursuing investigations into Democratic wrongdoing. They often say good things, but then the problem is they don't hold them to account. We may be seeing something different with this new crop of Republicans, at least when it comes to House Oversight Chair James Comer and the Biden bribery controversy. On Wednesday, Ray Comer and Grassley had a phone call where Ray offered to have them come to FBI headquarters to view the document. But at that point, Comer wasn't accepting anything but full complying with his subpoena. He said unless they turned the document over to Congress, they weren't in compliance with the subpoena, so he would proceed with contempt proceedings against Ray personally. That appears now to have prompted Ray to completely cave on the issue. Ray is now agreeing to turn over the document on Monday to Congress. Chairman Comer will receive a briefing from the FBI and review the document on Monday, his committee told Just the News in a statement. Chairman Comer has been clear that anything short of producing the FD 1023 form to the House Oversight Committee is not compliance with his subpoena. That's a big win. That takes courage. That also takes Kevin McCarthy backing up Comer and Jordan and these guys, which Paul Ryan didn't do when Trump won in 16. That's the difference. Stay tuned, because this could blow the whole Biden thing wide open. That's what I'm hearing. Okay, that's what I'm hearing. All right, before we go to the break, I've been asked to offer this to you. If you own a business and would like to expand and get in front of like-minded patriots like yourself, then perhaps you'd want to run an ad on this podcast and on our website. You know, particularly if you have a national business, it's, you know, some sort of consulting, or, you know, you're selling, you know, gold, or, you know, coffee, like the Black, you know, Black Rifle Coffee and stuff like that. You see that on other podcasts. We've never offered any advertising space in our podcast, but we're trying to help, you know, relieve the pressure on the donors to the We People Convention by finding other ways to, you know, to raise money. And you're seeing on our website now, there are ads running for the first time in years, just to see if we can raise a little money without, you know, interfering with the way our podcast looks. So if you're interested in advertising on our podcast, just write to me at info@wtpcaction.org. info@wtpcaction.org. And just tell me about your business, and we'll see if we can do something to help promote it. And you can help us, and we can help you. That email again is info@wtpcaction.org. If you want to advertise your business on this program, we'd like to hear from you. All right, we're going to take a short break. You've been listening to the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the first half of the show, and will stick with us for the second half of the show, and we'll be back after these messages. The We the People Convention News and Opinion Radio Program is paid for by donors like you. You can donate to the We the People Convention and support our cause by going to wethepeopleconvention.org or by sending your check in any amount to We the People Convention, P.O. Box 6211, Akron, Ohio 44312. When you're playing a video, including our podcast, you'll see this little cloud button. And if you click it, it'll actually download the video to your hard disk. And this works on our podcast page as well. If you're playing our podcast, and it's going to be loud, so I won't play it for much, but there's our podcast playing, and you can see this little, you know, download button. Okay. The other thing you got to notice on our podcast page is that there's a link here where you can send me a message about this podcast. Hey, it was great. Hey, I didn't like it. What, you know, something was wrong, or here's a correction, that kind of thing. You can use that link. And then these are the stories that I covered in this particular podcast. And you'll see there's links that go to the stories, that to the articles that I used in reporting on that. So you can click on that.
You'll also see that you can sign up for our emails and text messages, but you can also watch our podcasts on Roku TV and on Amazon Fire TV. And these are the instructions for doing that. So this is all on our podcast page, right? Right on the front page where the yellow button was. So if you click there, you know, this is our podcast page. These are the instructions for watching on Roku TV or Amazon Fire. And I watch our podcast on TV. It just feels more comfortable. So you can do that. We're also on Rumble. If you go to Rumble, you should join Rumble. And, you know, it's Tom Z at WTPC. You'll see our podcast there. So you can get us a lot of different ways, including on Apple iTunes. And then this is an audio version of our podcast. If you click here, it'll just play the audio of the podcast. It will not, show you the video. So people can, you know, listen to that while they're jogging or, you know, working out, working in the yard, or just relaxing and just want to listen to the audio and not watch the video. And again, this is available on phone, on your iPad, on your laptop, on your computer, any way you want. And you can share, you know, this, you know, whatever you see. If you're on a page that you really like, and you know, you see an article that you think, geez, I've got to share this article, you know, with someone in my family, you can send them an email by clicking on the little envelope. You can post it on Parler or MeWe. If you click on this, you get all kinds of options, you know, where you can put it on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, which we don't support, but you can do whatever you want. So we ask that you share what you see on our We the People convention site, and that you get more people to look at it, because that's the whole idea here, to help educate people, inform them. And then, as I said before, Link, we're not just about talk, we're about action. And in my podcast every week, which is published every Saturday, so if you know, the new podcast usually comes out every Saturday, and in that podcast, I will ask you to do certain things that will help protect and defend your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. So that's the We the People Convention website. Come back often, use it to be formed, be informed, and share it with others. Thanks a lot.
All right. And I also want to remind you that you can download our free We the People Convention phone app by going to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and just searching on WTPC space convention. You'll see our app, and that allows you to read all the stories, but it also allows me to send you notifications, which don't cost us money. Text messages and emails cost us money, and you should still sign up for those. But again, remember, there's three things that you should be doing if you're involved with the We the People Convention and you want to fight for freedom and liberty and prosperity. First, if you can donate, please do. Not everyone can. Second, you need to tell people about this podcast, because you're hearing stories here and you're going to hear a bunch of stories that you haven't heard anywhere else. And you're getting opinions and explanations as to how they affect you personally. Okay. And so the more people we've got understanding that, the more people will help us when we call for action. So in the first half of the show, in the first story, I asked you guys to go to search on Jake Lang, listen to my interview with him, and then donate to his Give, Send, Go account, which is going to help fund their appeal to the Supreme Court, which is really an appeal to help your individual freedom and liberty and prosperity. That's what this is all about, okay? And so, you know, I do want to correct one thing. When we made that video, it said we're not on Twitter. We are on Twitter now. It's Tom Z, WTPC. All on Parler, on MeWe, on Gatter, on Gab, you know, on locals, you know, it's Tom Z WTPC. That's how you can find us on any social media. So speaking of Twitter, there's a big deal that happened this week. Heads roll at Twitter after the Daily Wire is censored, but Elon Musk stirs new controversy. Now, what happened was, many of you are aware that Matt Walsh, who works for the Daily Wire, and last week I announced to you a big change, that Twitter is trying to become a multimedia platform, and the Daily Wire, that has lots of content from Ben Shapiro, Candace Owen, Jordan Peterson, Matt Walsh, on and on and on, they are going to put all their content on Twitter. So Twitter agreed to air this very good, very powerful documentary by Matt Walsh that came out earlier this year called What is a Woman? Beautiful. It just destroys the whole trans concept. It just destroys them. And it was supposed to air live free on Twitter this week. And when they tried to run it, the people at Twitter censored it, said they were guilty of misgendering. There's no such thing as misgendering because genders aren't fluid. These are whack job commies who do that. The ongoing controversy over Twitter censorship of the Daily Wire for alleged misgendering escalated on Thursday evening with social media giant's head of trust and safety, Ella Irwin, resigning. So Musk got rid of the woman that apparently made this decision. This most likely was because she and her department are the ones who made the decision to label tweets by Matt Walsh as violating Twitter's hateful conduct policies. The result was a warning label being placed on the post, along with sharings being disabled. Those moves came after Jeremy Boring, CEO of Daily Wire, revealed Thursday morning that Twitter backed out of the deal to show the What is a Woman, the outlet's popular documentary about militant transgender movement. So basically what happened is Musk had agreed to let them air the video, and then these people at Twitter sabotaged him. Well, what did Musk do? He fired him, okay? Because this is a real, this was a tipping point for Elon Musk, right? A lot of people have been saying, is he really for free speech or is he just a billionaire playing games? Well, this is a moment where he had to stand up. Not only did they air it on Friday for free, Musk tweeted, every parent should see this movie. That's huge. That's huge, okay? And so then there was a story that came out, Robert F. Kennedy, banned by major social media. The Twitter owner Elon Musk invited Democrat presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for a discussion on his Twitter Spaces after Kennedy said his campaign was suspended by Meta, Facebook-owned Instagram. Interesting. When we use our Team Kennedy email address to set up an Instagram account, we get an automatic 180-day ban. Can anyone guess why that's happening, he wrote on Twitter? An accompanying image shows that Instagram said it suspended his Team Kennedy account and that there were 100 days remaining to disagree with the company's decision. In response to his post, Musk wrote, would you like to do a spacious discussion with me next week? Kennedy agreed, saying he would do it on Monday, this Monday, at 2 p.m. Social media is the modern equivalent of the town square, the candidate, who is a nephew of former President John F. Kennedy, wrote, how can democracy function if only some candidates have access to it? Oh, yeah, we've only been saying that for how long? Welcome to the party, Robert F. Kennedy, all right? And now you're seeing, I mean, CNN actually did a story on Robert F. Kennedy this week where they, quote, quote, mistakenly called him a Republican in the Chiron. Okay, Kennedy's not getting any chance to go against Biden. None. They can't put up with that. So you think we were getting censored? Well, Robert F. Kennedy's going to get it worse. But that's why we fight back. And when we fight back, we win. The Bud Light effect. Companies appear to back down from LGBT agenda this Pride Month. Major League Baseball, the U.S. Navy, and others are appearing to back down from their aggressively pro-LGBTQ stances on Twitter compared to last year. Bud Light sales have plummeted after the iconic beer brand partnered with transgender TikTok star Dylan Mulvaney to sell their beverage. Target lost nearly $9 billion in a span of a week after marketing LGBT-themed clothing for children. Even Kohl's is getting, you know, pummeled now, and Disney stock is down 33%. Now that Major League Baseball and the U.S. Navy have apparently removed the rainbow flag from their social media profiles, other companies appear to be tiptoeing around the issue this Pride Month. The official Facebook page for Major League Baseball updated its profile to the league's logo against a rainbow flag on June 1st, running celebrating community pride and love of baseball. Just one day later, the league had returned the picture to their logo and now has a logo commemorating baseball star Lou Gehrig. So they went from the flag to their regular logo. Others have noted that companies such as Verizon, American Airlines, Amazon, and Walmart do not have rainbow flags in their Twitter profile pictures, dubbing it the Bud Light effect. Okay? Why? Because you fought back. And you need to keep fighting back. Right? That's the left's been doing for years. But we were too nice to do it. Now we're speaking loudly, right? And we're carrying a big stick. It's no joke to lose $9 billion in stock value. It's no joke for Disney to lose 33% of their stock value. You think their stockholders are happy? You think their president and their board aren't hearing from these stockholders? Yeah, keep it up. That's what winning looks like. This is what losing looks like by a bunch of losers. Hundreds of studies that justified the shots are being deleted. I posted this week, and many of you were pretty interested in reading about it. More than 300 COVID-19-related articles have been retracted long after they'd done their damage and pushing the shots was done due to a lack of scientific truthfulness. As much as the government probably wishes you would, most of you have hopefully not forgotten how the science unfolded over the course of the pandemic. Pfizer and the rest of big pharma companies assured the government that everything was just fine with the vaccines because they had been doing super serious testing. Outside medical clinics were running trials in parallel, and the government dutifully reported the cheerful news to us while using all of that data to impose lockdowns, mask mandates, and immunity passport systems. But as we have since learned, there really weren't all that much testing going on in the rush to get the vaccines out to the door. And now, according to one group that tracks publications in scientific journals, a lot of the original research and test results are mysteriously disappearing. More than 300 papers and scientific articles have vanished in the past year. More than 300 COVID-19-related articles have been retracted long after they've done their damage due to the lack of scientific truthfulness and ethical guidelines, according to Retraction Watch, a website that monitors retractions of science-related articles. A total of 330 COVID-related papers have been retracted thus far. According to Gunnar Groland, the senior researcher at the Institute of Immunology at the University of Oslo, many researchers took ethical shortcuts when writing their essays, these stories that ran in medical journals. Researchers taking ethical shortcuts when composing scientific papers doesn't sound like a very good way to handle the science, does it? Some of the authors cited trials with sample sizes that were far too small. Others performed copy-paste of the original articles and drew deceptive conclusions. The Lancet Journal, which dubs itself as the best science for better lives, was described as having used fraudulent research when it concluded that hydroxychloroquine caused an increased risk of heart arrhythmia and even death in COVID patients. The World Health Organization used those findings as a justification to shut down their research into what turned out to be a very effective medication for treating COVID, and the media lectured us endlessly about the dangers posed, particularly after President Trump endorsed it. Okay? Phonies, liars, frauds being exposed. If you go to this article, you can click on the link for Retraction Watch and see more clearly what articles specifically were deleted. I posted this video for you this week after many of you sent it to me, and this is a must watch. This is a Dr. David Martin. He makes the case that millions were killed with COVID-19 for profit. He says COVID-19 was an act of biological warfare perpetrated on the human race. It is a financial heist. Nature was hijacked. Science was hijacked. You should watch it and do your research, but his statements appear to be very credible and very disturbing. This is from a recent international COVID summit hosted by the European Parliament. So far, 766 million COVID-19 infections have been recorded worldwide, with over 7 million deaths, excluding vaccine deaths. This is the biggest crime against humanity perpetrated, and he claims, by the U.S. government. So you want to go to wethepeopleconvention.org, and then this is going to be in the video section, okay? So this is not in the article section. It's under videos. It's 20 minutes. This guy's good. It's serious stuff, and these people need to be held accountable. All right. Then there was a story this week about the labor market stays strong, adding 339,000 jobs in May. but previous revisions suggest problems. And this is the problem that we've had, that the Biden administration, the Biden regime, the commie leftists in our government lie to us constantly. You can't trust anything they say, all right? So here's the story they came out with on Friday. Employers in the U.S. added about almost 340,000 jobs in May, a sign that the jobs market is still strong despite a questionable economy that features still hot inflation, rising wages, and possibly pending recession. Fed officials have signaled they are increasingly likely to hold interest rates steady at their meeting June 13th and 14th before preparing to raise them again later this summer. So we're going to see more interest rates rising, which is going to create more inflation, more higher costs for you and me. So what's the revisions, though, that you know they aren't talking about in this story about the jobs? In the fourth quarter of 2020, labor productivity in the non-farm business sector was unrevived, retaining the 1.6% increase reported last month. 1.6 is pathetic. Hourly compensation, however, was revised down from previously reported increase of 4.9% to a decrease of 0.7%, due entirely to a downward revision to compensation, meaning wages went down when they said they went up. As a result, unit labor costs decreased 2.2% in the fourth quarter of 2022, rather than increasing 3.3%. So here's the problem, folks. We were at one of our neighbors stopped over, and he does income taxes for one of the tax agencies that you can go to during tax season. But during the summers, he works with his friend that owns a landscaping business. And he was telling us that if he just got laid off from the landscaping business, he would only make $155 less than he's making working like 50 hours a week. That's why there's problems in the job market. That's why there's no jobs. That and retirements. There's a story about how in the airline industry, they're desperate for mechanics because so many airline mechanics have retired. Because you know what? They don't want to put up with this crap anymore. They don't want the woke rules, the bull crap. They don't want to work with these millennials who don't want to work. Right? So they're saying, screw it. I'm going to retire. There's like 3 million jobs we've lost that are from retirees that we're not replacing. This is what the left is trying to do to undermine our economy, to undermine capitalism. They're basically making it more profitable for you individually to be a ward of the state than to be a freedom-loving, you know, liberty-loving person working for your own prosperity. That's what they're doing here. And it's working. And we've got to stop it. So when the debt deal was going through and we were trying to, you know, put work requirements, oh my God, work requirements for able-bodied people who want to get welfare or get some other benefit, the Republicans are saying, well, if you're able-bodied and you're under like 55, you should have to keep applying for jobs until you get a job to get off the government dole. Oh, Democrats went nuts. We don't want that, because the way we destroy America is by destroying the work ethic and making it so it's a lot easier to sit home and play video games than it is to go out and earn a living. It's not an accident, folks. That's what they're doing to us. That's how they're going after your individual freedom and liberty and prosperity. Got it? It's important. Don't take the bait. Okay, this is a disturbing story for many of you, because I know you guys support Project Veritas and those guys, and we're really Project Veritas was formed by James O'Keefe, and they're now suing him because they say that he ruined their company, but they were trying to get rid of him. The Project Veritas seeks injunction against James O'Keefe and O'Keefe Media Group in newly filed lawsuit complaint. Being known as the founder of the organization does not entitle that person to run amok and put his own interests ahead of that organization's. O'Keefe failed in his duties to plaintiff Project Veritas, causing it serious and significant damage. O'Keefe must be held accountable, as must the organization O'Keefe created, O'Keefe Media Group. So in essence, They tried to destroy James O'Keefe. The left became board members of Project Veritas. Their goal was to silence him. He said, screw you, I'm leaving. Now they're trying to use lawfare to destroy his new company so he'll be silenced. I know many of you, at my urging, and Nan and I, myself, ourselves, we gave to the O'Keefe Media Group to keep him going. I would ask those of you who haven't given to O'Keefe Media Group to try to do that now, because he's going to need money now to fight these lawsuits to try to survive. But this is how they do it. You've seen it before. Understand, this is how they do it. Okay, I want to report on this story because I think this is very important. GOP won't authorize FISA without FBI reforms following Durham report. Stop the abuses. Leading House Republicans won't back the reauthorization of powers under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act without major reforms in the wake of the FBI's FISA abuses and Special Counsel John Durham's report. Republican Representative Mike Turner from Ohio, Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Darren LaHood of Illinois, the Turner-designated leader of the committee's FISA working group, and Representative Mike Garcia, Republican from California, another committee member, all spoke with the Washington Examiner about the need for guardrails before FISA powers are reauthorized. The trio of lawmakers wants reforms at the FBI and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Courts, which approves the secret warrants that, I said, James Comey lied about and abused. You know, Struck and Page and those guys did that. McCabe. Their demands are at odds with the Biden administration, which wants reauthorization of FISA Section 702 powers without changes before it expires at the end of this year. We have been very clear to the bipartisan basis with the Intelligence Committee and the FBI that there's no support in Congress for a clean reauthorization of 702, Turner told the Washington Examiner. Reforms are necessary. We will be taking up the issue of reforms, and they will not be limited to 702 itself. It will encompass both abuses that we are aware of and abuses that are now in the public domain as a result of disclosures by the Durham report. It is essential to have access to this national security tool, Turner said, but it's equally essential that reforms occur to stop the abuses. Hear, hear. So now, what does that mean? That means that Congress can use the power of the purse, and if this has to be renewed this year, well, they're going to say to Ray and to Biden and to Merrick Garland, the DOJ, you don't get this unless you change this, 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 and this. See how it plays out? They're going to want this bad. We're going to want to make sure they don't get it till we get what we need, which is a reining in of the abuses that the FBI and the DOJ have done. It's going to be very interesting to see what this committee brings up as far as what changes they want. We may have some ideas for them as we get closer to that renewal of that 702. I put this story out to you guys, and it was a really important story, and I know you guys took it very seriously because I know a lot of you are concerned about this. Must Neuralink gets approved by FDA for human testing. That's a pretty big statement, folks. Elon Musk's neurological company, neurotechnology company, Neuralink, announced on Thursday it has obtained approval from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to carry out a clinical study of brain implants in humans. It marks the first human clinical study for the company. This is a result of incredible work by the Neuralink team in close collaboration with the FDA and represents an important first step that will one day allow our technology to help many people, the company said in a statement. Recruitment is not yet open for a clinical trial. We'll announce more information on this soon, it added, without providing further details about the trial. Musk's response wrote on Twitter, congratulations, Neuralink team. Neuralink was founded in 2016 and is based in San Francisco. Neuralink seeks to build the first neural implant that will let you control a computer or mobile device anywhere you go via your brain, just via thoughts. Okay? That's what they're trying to do. Musk previously indicated he hopes the company will one day help people with debilitating conditions, which include severe spinal cord injuries and other things like sclerosis. Musk also believes brain implants could have potential to help other conditions, including obesity, autism, depression, and schizophrenia. He's also optimistic the technology could enable web browsing and telepathy, meaning if you have this thing in your brain and you're connected wirelessly to the internet, you could literally talk to your friend, your wife, your spouse, your kids without speaking. You could just think it and it would go to their Neuralink and talk to them. Scary stuff. The company began testing brain implants in animals back in 2019. By April 2021, Neuralink published a video showing a 9-year-old macaw named Pager playing computer games via a neural implant that was inserted into its brain. Neuralink has also demonstrated a robot that can handle some of the most delicate parts of the required brain implant insertion surgery. They also have shown a pig whose legs can be controlled remotely by a computer and a monkey with a brain implant that made it see flashes of light. Musk made headlines late in 2022 when he said the brain implant's safety is such that he'd be willing to implant them in his own children. Experts have told the Epoch Times there could be ethical, safety, security, privacy, and even philosophical issues when it comes to Neuralink's goals of healthy people interacting directly with the technology via their mind. Folks, this is the challenge of the future. This is not AI. This is the human computer biological interface. That's what this is. Now, I don't know how you stop it, because they're going to hide behind some pretty incredible things. Literally, blind people will be able to see. People that cannot move their limbs, like Stephen Hawking, would be able to walk based on this. And the people go, wow, that's great, let's do that. But like all tools, a shovel can be used to dig a ditch, can also be used to whack you in the head and kill you. And so what are the guardrails? There's no rules for any of this stuff yet. It's amazing, but it's also scary. And so you need to be aware of it. And if you go to wethepeopleconvention.org, you can read more about it, and you should share that story with your friends and relatives, and they should be talking about it. You should be talking about it. You should ask your pastor, what's the biblical issues with this? This is a big deal. And I'm telling you, it's coming. Like it or not, it's coming. So I want to make sure that you're staying up to date on that, okay? This was another good ruling by the Supreme Court, but it's just kind of like one of those head scratchers. You kind of go, what? Like, what is this? Supreme Court deals blow to unions, rules company can sue for damages caused by a strike. In an 8-1 ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court on June 1st decided that a union's deliberate destruction of company property as a pressure tactic in a labor dispute isn't protected under federal law. It's a crime. You're destroying property. You don't have a right to destroy property if you're going on strike. Labor activists have said that endangering and destroying company property during a dispute is fair game that is long protected by law. But companies such as the petitioner in this case, Glacier Northwest, a ready-mix concrete company headquartered in Seattle that does business at Cal Portland, pushed back. The new ruling will allow companies to sue striking unions, hold them accountable for damages caused during labor actions. The U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Glacier Northwest versus International Brother of Teamsters Local Union 174 allows the company to sue the union in state court. The case goes back to August 2017 when cement mixer truck drivers decided to strike against Glacier. They loaded the vehicles with cement and then left them on the company's premises so that the cement would harden in the trucks and destroy the trucks. And these people went to the U.S. Supreme Court to say, oh, that should be okay. That's how nuts we are. And it got to the Supreme Court, where some courts said it was okay. Again, thank God for Donald Trump. Thank God that you worked your butt off to elect Donald Trump, and he appointed these Supreme Court justices. And it was 8-1. It wasn't unanimous, because the only whack job who voted no was the new woman Brown that Biden appointed, who doesn't know what a woman is. So she doesn't have a clue about anything, and she thinks, oh, If you're going to go on strike, you should be able to burn down the factory. It's just a strike tactic, don't you know? Wow. This is another story that I think is important because of what this guy has to say. Remember the missing witness? Missing Biden witness speaks out, and it's not good for Joe. A missing witness is now talking and has given an interview to Miranda Devine of the New York Post that is not good for Joe Biden. We heard House Oversight Committee Chairman Jim Comer talk about a missing witness on Maria Bartiromo's show a few weeks back. The missing witness is not the whistleblower who knows about the Biden bribery form, as Comer clarified. So this is separate from the document that that Ray is supposed to provide to Comer on Monday about the bribery that was, you know, was money paid to Joe Biden as vice president for a change in U.S. policy, a direct federal crime. Okay, this is different. This involves other federal crimes. The witness. This is also not one of the IRS or FBI whistleblowers. The witness who's talking is Gal Luft, G-A-L is his first name, Luft, a former Israeli Defense Force colonel who knows more about the CEFC relationship between Biden and the Chinese. In March of 2019, Luft met with four FBI officials and two DOJ prosecutors at the U.S. Embassy in Brussels to provide information that Chinese state-controlled energy company, CEFC, had paid $100,000 a month to Hunter Biden and $65,000 a month to his Uncle Jim in exchange for their FBI connections and the use of the Biden name to promote China's Belt and Road Initiative around the world. Luft was arrested in Cyprus in February and was awaiting extradition to the U.S. on multiple charges related to the Arms Export Control Act. But then he skipped bail last month. Now he is claiming he had to skip bail because he's being prosecuted or persecuted by the DOJ and the FBI to protect Joe Biden. He said, quote, and no one's going to disagree with that on this podcast, the chances of me getting a fair trial in Washington are virtually zero, he said in a call from an undisclosed foreign country, explaining why he skipped bail. I had to do what I had to do to protect myself. I was charged for a thought crime, he says, of the gun running allegation, which dates from email correspondences 5 years ago. I was asked by a bona fide arms dealer, an Israeli friend, to inquire with a company I knew if they had a specific item and what would be the price of an item. This is where the conspiracy ended. No follow-up, no money, no brokered activity. He basically said they framed me based on that because they don't want, the FBI has the evidence about the Bidens getting money from this Chinese energy company, and the FBI buried it. That's what Comer and Jordan and Turner and all these guys are going after. And that's why Christopher Wray's sweating. But I wanted you to know this guy's out there as well. You can't even keep track of it all, right? Can't even keep track of it all. Don't worry. We're keeping track, and we're going to keep working to bring the Bidens to justice, meaning prosecute them for crimes. Maybe not while he's president, afterwards. This is a very happy story for us because we've reported on this. We know that Antifa is a terrorist organization, and we know that the DOJ has been protecting him. But this time, local authorities arrested three on surprising charges in association with Atlanta's domestic terrorists. And this goes back to that place in the training center in Atlanta that the Antifa people had occupied and were trying to stop from being built because, again, they want anarchy. It's been nearly 3 months since Antifa-aligned domestic terrorists wreaked havoc on Atlanta, firebombing the future site of a law enforcement training complex and committing violent property destruction in parts of the city. At the time, authorities arrested dozens of protesters, but more arrests have come, and some on surprising charges. Now, this is not the FBI or the DOJ, because they're in the bag. They want Antifa. They stood back and let Antifa burn our cities, but now they're throwing a hammer down on January 6th. And the evidence is perfectly clear. There's no doubt about that. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation and Atlanta Police Department arrested Marlon Scott Couts, age 39, of Atlanta, Savannah D. Peterson, age 30, of Savannah, and Adele McLean, age 42, of Atlanta, on Wednesday on charges of money laundering and charity fraud in association with fundraising efforts for the domestic terrorists who are currently in jail. The trio ran a nonprofit called Network for Strong Communities, which worked with another group called the Atlanta Solidarity Fund, which at least on paper was a bail fund for the thugs who attacked the training center property in other areas in Atlanta. Agents and officers executed a search warrant and found evidence linking the three suspects to financial crimes, stated the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. All three charged will be booked in a local jail and will have a bond hearing scheduled soon. The Atlanta Press Collective did provide some helpful information about the charges entail. Reporting, if found guilty on the charges, the money laundering charge comes with a fine of $500,000, up to 20 years imprisonment or both. The charity fraud charge carries a fine of $10,000 or the total amount of the fraudulent solicitation and criminal penalties up to $5,000, a minimum of 1 year in jail with up to 5 year maximum or both. Okay? Good news. We've said all along that you want to get rid of Antifa, you want to get rid of Black Lives Matter, you use RICO. These are crime syndicates. The people who donated to them paid them to attack citizens, to destroy property, to overthrow the U.S. government, which the DOJ and FBI are claiming we were doing on January 6th, which we were not, but Antifa and BLM has it right on their websites, but they're not going after them. So local authorities are going after them. We need more local authorities to go after them. Every state attorney general should be going after Antifa and Black Lives Matter in their states and investigating who donated to them and hold them accountable. That's how you stop this lawlessness. And we haven't stopped it because we haven't acted. Okay? All right, I'm going to wrap up the show with something that's more for our viewers in Ohio. As if you're new to the show, We the People Convention originated in Ohio. We've only been a national group since 2020, so we've only been a national group for like 3 years. You know, the Ohio listeners are not the majority of the listeners of the podcast, but they're still the biggest single group. So here in Ohio, all of you around the country need to understand that since Roe v. Wade was defeated, the left has taken a new direction to try to win the abortion fight and basically declare abortion up to the time of birth and also impose these trans, you know, mutilation laws. And the way they're doing it is in states like Ohio, where we have in our Constitution the ability for citizens to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot. And I participated in that when Barack Hussein Obama was trying to take over healthcare with Obamacare. We, the Tea Party, organized to fight that. And in Ohio, the Ohio Tea Party groups organized to put the Ohio Healthcare Amendment on the ballot. And we did that in 2011, I believe it was. And we had to get 550,000 signatures. No easy task, my friends. And we won in all 88 counties and won by over 60%. We won by like 62% in the state. Okay, now, in the Ohio Constitution, it says you only have to win by a majority, 50% plus one, to get a constitutional amendment, to change the Ohio Constitution. And they've used this for things we didn't like the casinos in Ohio. We didn't want that, but they used that ability to do that. Now what the left is doing is they're trying to get the signatures to put an amendment on the ballot this coming November in Ohio and in other states that will make abortion, all the laws we've put in, the heartbeat bills in Ohio, you know, we've got all kinds of restrictions on abortion in Ohio that we worked 50 years to get. They'll all be wiped out. This constitutional amendment will make them all illegal. It will allow abortion up to the time of birth, and it will allow all kinds of trans surgery and no parents' rights and things like that. Now, we got to stop that. But with a 50% threshold, if they bring $100 million worth of ads in to lie to people and say this is about women's rights, health care, which is garbage, they could win. So what we did is the legislature in Ohio has put forward issue one, on August 8th of this year, where we are going to raise the threshold for a constitutional amendment from 50% to 60%. And so We the People Convention is going to participate in this. And on your screen, you'll see that And for those of you who've been with us for a long time, you'll remember this. For those of you who are new, we won Ohio for Trump by being creative. And one of the creative things we did is called the Barn Billboard Program. The Barn Billboard Program, basically in 16, we beat the left on Facebook, on Twitter, on social media. Right after Trump won, they published a document that said the only way for us to win in 2020 is to deny the conservatives the ability to be on social media, which they did. So what did we do in Ohio that they didn't do elsewhere and that Trump didn't do? They still had Brad Parscales trying to win on social media when they were being, and we said Trump would be thrown off of Facebook and Twitter before the election, and he was. What did we do? We went totally analog. We went completely off of social media. We did things like we created a radio network. We did the Trump train road rallies. But one of the things we did is we got farmers to put up giant billboards on farms along interstates that said, you know, vote for Trump. Well, now we want to revitalize that. And basically, when we did this in 2020 and we won the election, we were getting like 3 million impressions a day from our billboards. So that beats the heck out of Twitter or Facebook or anything. Okay? So here's the deal. We the People Convention, it may be our Freedom for All PAC. I got to look at the legalities of it. We will provide you with a billboard for free. What we need is for you to provide the barn or a business near an interstate where there's high traffic, and we need you to put the sign up. Now, we don't have a lot of time, okay, because this election is August 8th. Early voting is a month before, so that's in July. So I need to hear from you guys, and I'll be sending out a statewide email maybe this weekend, but for sure by Monday, explaining the program again. But if you write to me at info@wethepeopleconvention.org and say, I want a sign. Here's how big it is. The bigger, the better. We've done, you know, 20 foot by 40 foot. That's the size of the side of a house. We've done 10 by 30. We've done 16 by 32, 8 by 16. We'll do some 4 by 8s, but we really need bigger signs, and they need them to be on interstates in rural areas so the left can't deface them and can't tear them down. We had 100 billboards we put up in 2020, and only one of them was defaced, and they used a paint gun, and it was closer to the road than all our other ones. So if you want a sign, write to me at info@wethepeopleconvention.org. Tell me what size sign, what your mailing address is, and where the sign would be put up, and I'll get back to you, and we'll see if we can raise the money to pay for this. Now, if you can't put up a sign and you want to donate, please feel free to do that at wethepeopleconvention.org to help pay for these signs. But we think that by getting these up right after 4th of July, in other words, I want to get your order in the next 2 weeks. I want to produce and ship to you by before the July 4th holiday. Hopefully you can put it up over July 4th, and then they'd be up for a month. The election's on August 8th, and you can take them down. Okay? We the People Convention, Issue 1, Barn Billboard Program. For those of you in Ohio, let's get these signs out there because it's going to be hard. Our people aren't used to voting in August elections. And so we got to turn them out so we can raise the Constitutional Amendment, you know, passage from 50% to 60% of the vote so that in November, if the left puts this abortion bill on, that they will have to really get Ohioans to support it or it won't pass. Now, let me be clear. You'll see on this sign, it says Issue 1 is pro-gun, pro-life, pro-small business. For those of you around the country, listen up. If they are successful passing this constitutional amendment in November about abortion, immediately they're going to do a constitutional amendment to limit our gun rights. They're going to limit, you know, certain weapons. They're going to limit, you know, capacity of cartridges. They're going to try to form a gun registry through constitutional amendments. If you are pro-business, they're going to then immediately do another constitutional amendment that will raise prevailing wage on not just government jobs, but on private jobs. Now, for those who don't know what prevailing wage is, basically it's this concept that even if you don't hire a union shop to do your construction, you have to pay union wages. It's like a 15% tax on all construction in your state. They will try to raise the minimum wage in Ohio using a constitutional amendment. We got to stop that. We got to stop it all right now. And we stop that by voting yes on issue one on August 8th. Okay? And you help us stop it by educating your fellow Ohioans about this threat if they are a gun owner, if they like small business, and if they're pro-life. It's not just about one thing. This is a strategy by the left and those of you around the country. If you can amend your constitution through a vote, they're doing the same thing in your state. Check it out and get, you know, get after it. All right, so let's wrap up our program for today. Steve Bannon reminds us all the time, if you think they're going to give you your country back without a fight, you're sadly mistaken. We see that every day. We know that. We are not going to shy away. We will fight them. We will fight them. We're going to take back our country. We're not asking for it. We're taking it, okay? Everything we do, whether it's Project 2025, it's another ask I made for you, right? Project 2025, go there, download the Plum Book, start looking at jobs, start thinking about people you know who are patriots who would go and serve in what will be the war in Washington once we can win the presidency in 2024. Do that. That's an ask I made of you. And speaking of asks, what I've started doing, because one of you suggested it, at the end of our podcast page, where I list every item that we did in the show with links to those articles and the time it aired, at the bottom of that, I say, this week's ass. Every one of you needs to look at this week's ass every week and do them. Otherwise, why are you watching this podcast? Otherwise, do you really care about your freedom, liberty, prosperity? I will not ask you to do things that I don't think will be effective. I'm not going to waste your time, effort, or money. So look at those every week and do them. Do them, okay? Remember, you know, that the most important thing is for you to tell people about this podcast and send me your comments at info@wethepeopleconvention.com. info@wethepeopleconvention.com. .org. info@wethepeopleconvention.org. Write to me and say, hey, here's a link. Here's a story. Did you know this? I have a question about that. Someone asked, you know, about what is the difference between freedom and liberty? That's what I did at the beginning of the show. I explained that to you. Okay? This is your podcast, not mine. I just produce it and perform it. The data comes from all over the globe. That's why you see stories here you don't see anywhere else, because I have thousands of people sending me stuff every week. That's why this podcast is better than most other podcasts you'll watch. That's why you got to recommend it. Again, I said to you, you know, at the halfway point of the show, if you are a business owner and you want to try to market your product on this podcast, I'd be interested in hearing about that. You'll write to me at info@wtpcaction.org. info@wtpcaction.org. I'd appreciate it if you send it to that email so it doesn't get mixed in with everything else. All right? So we're glad that you joined us this week. I hope you're glad that you joined us this week. I hope you're in good health. I hope if you're in bad health that you're recovering, you're getting better. I hope that you have a good week. Please tell others about this. Please do what we asked in this podcast. And please never, ever, ever give up. Because we can't lose if we just never give up. To have no doubt that we're going to win, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how ugly it gets. We have no doubt we're going to win if we just don't quit. You've been listening to the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. My name is Tom Zawistowski, and I'll be back again, God willing, next week, and I hope you will be too. God bless you, and God bless America. So proudly we
trying.